Welcome to this edition of Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. And today we welcome to our studio Anu Mattai from Bangalore in India. Welcome, Anu.
Thank you, Tony.
It's lovely to have you in the studio with us here. And we're going to talk today about Christian Science and just really to get the ball rolling, you know, why would anyone be a Christian Scientist? Why are you a Christian Scientist?
Because I've seen so much healing in my life. Christian Science has given me a really deep understanding of God, and being able to apply that understanding in my life has resulted in so much harmony. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to keep discovering new things about God and seeing the relevance of God right here and now, that God is not some far-off concept. You can really take that understanding of God and see how that makes a difference in your life.
It sounds full of promise. And how have you seen that promise fulfilled in your life?
Oh, in numerous ways, actually. When I was first introduced to Christian Science, it was not that I was looking for healing or anything of that sort at all. I had always been interested in things of the spirit and belonged to an Orthodox Christian church. And, you know, I liked going to church. I liked talking with God. I did have conversations with God.
Lovely.
And things like that. But it was still very kind of vague concepts. I did know that God was good, God was loving, and, you know, usually I just ask God for things, make my life better.
Right. But
then what Christian Science has done for me, it's made me really think about those concepts, even if it's a simple thing like God is all power. I've had to really think that through. So if God is all power, then what does that say about my life? And if God is good and the only power, then I cannot experience evil.
Right.
And so it really, I think it's more a question of whatever I'm saying about God, it has to be backed up by proof.
Right.
Right here and now. Not that I'm waiting for an afterlife and, you know, I will be able to see that, but I can see it right here and now. And I think that's what's made Christian Science so important for me.
Yeah. Well, I love what you've said, actually, that I can think sort of three layers there. You're saying what you see or understand about God, but also you were saying what you actually, you think about. Do I really believe this? You know, it's not just a concept.
Yeah.
And I love that. To me, that's wrestling, but it's wrestling in a very positive way, trying to really grasp the truth of what you're saying. And then you say that leads to healing.
Well, you know, for me, healing is not so much that you're having a problem and then you're trying to get rid of it, or you don't have something and you're asking for more of that. It's more seeing what is already true and what is there. So it's not like I'm asking God, okay, you know, I don't have enough money or I don't have a job and can you, you know, just kind of adjust things a little bit and let me have those things.
Yeah.
It's more that because God is good, because God is my parent, because God is all powerful, God is present everywhere, it is my God-given right to have everything that I need.
Right.
It's not asking for more, but knowing that there is an abundant supply, knowing that I cannot be deprived.
Right. Lovely.
And when you're thinking, reasoning it out that way, and like you said, wrestling with that, you know, trying to see that, okay, that's what it says, but this is not what I'm seeing. And often I think we tend to say, okay, this is the picture. Now I'm going to get God and, you know, try to
get him to change the picture.
Yeah, change the picture a little bit.
I want the picture to look like this, and it looks like
can
this.
Can you just do
can
this?
You do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So give me an example where you show us how this works in practice.
Well, a few years ago, I started having a very irritable skin condition. And I started praying about it as we learn in Christian Science. And it was not, oh God, please take this away. It was more recognizing that God is good. And all that God has created has to therefore be good. So there's nothing in creation that could be harmful to me,
right?
That could irritate me, that could cause me to be uncomfortable, and thinking along those lines. But I wasn't seeing much progress along that. I stuck with that. And then 2-3 months later, it just, everything seemed to be badly inflamed. And it was very visible.
Oh, right.
So I asked a Christian Science practitioner to help me. And a Christian Science practitioner is somebody who's available to anybody who wants to learn more about God and find healing through that. So the practitioner gave me some very helpful ideas to think about. But underlying that, and what the practitioner kept emphasizing, is that healing is inevitable.
Mm.
Because what God is the truth. The goodness of God is the truth.
Right.
And that was helpful to me. Now, I must say that the picture of this condition was very similar to some advertisements I'd seen in the newspaper, you know, with a name for this condition and how that it's chronic.
Mm.
And I looked up the word chronic.
Uh-huh.
Now, it is you know, supposed to be something that is continuing,
yeah,
always present, unchanging, unfailing.
Right. Almost inevitable.
Yes, yeah. And always, you know, it's always in a negative way.
Yes, right, yeah.
A chronic condition. So the thought that occurred to me then was, actually, good then is always unfailing.
Right.
Good is always present. Good is continuous because God is good.
Yeah.
So that thought really helped me a lot. There were nights when I just couldn't sleep because it was so difficult. But again, to know that, no, God was the only power. And so there couldn't be anything that would inflame evil in my experience.
Right.
So these thoughts were really helpful, and I started seeing, you know, great progress. So I told the practitioner that I could manage
on your own,
on my own, and continued to pray.
Are you talking more about at this point your thought had shifted,
yes,
rather than the physical?
No, there was a physical change as well.
Okay,
there was a physical change as well.
Yeah.
It seemed to be getting better.
Right.
But the night after I told the practitioner that I was okay to continue on my own, it just came back with such force.
Wow. Okay.
And there was a temptation to just pick up the phone and
call again.
And then the thought came, no, we've talked about all of these truths. I know the facts. Now it's time to apply it.
Yeah.
And stay with them.
You're talking about the spiritual truths
and the spiritual facts.
Yeah, the spiritual facts
that we had been talking about, I had been thinking about. I had been studying Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. I'd been studying the Bible to really discover more about the nature of God.
Yeah.
So that I could be really firm in understanding how this condition could not be true if all that I was learning about God was true.
Yeah, they couldn't both be true.
Yeah.
Either one was or the other one
was.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I just kind of went back to this idea of good is unfailing. Yes. Good is present. Good is continuous, nothing else. Yeah. And by the morning, there was a marked difference. And then within a few days, the whole thing just cleared right. up. And that was maybe 6-7 years ago. And, you know, I've not experienced that.
Lovely. So as opposed to being chronic, it was absolutely clear.
Clear.
And
yes.
gone.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And at that time, during those days, I used to think, oh my goodness, there would be so many marks left from
The scars.
You know, the scars of all of this. And I think maybe within a month, everything had completely cleared up. There was no evidence that anything had been.
That is the amazing thing about Christian Science, isn't it? It's not a managing of symptoms. It's not, well, you'll get better, but there will be these lingering evidences. But you're seeing it's not the reality, and then you actually experience the evidence in a complete freedom.
Yes, because if it had been a reality which you were trying to change, then there would be a scar from it. There would be a memory of it.
Yes.
When it has never been there, it can't leave a scar.
Yeah. So when you're talking about never being there, that's interesting because you're talking about God, but that applies to our understanding of ourselves as well, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Because what we're really trying to do is see yourself as you are. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, has a very lovely quote from her message to the Mother Church of 1901, which has been so helpful to me, where she writes, "The lens of science magnifies the divine power to human sight, and we then see the allness of spirit, therefore the nothingness of matter."
Uh-huh.
Spirit being the name for God.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when we're seeing the allness of God, then we're seeing the nothingness of anything that is unlike God. Because if, you know, God is filling all space, there's no place for anything else.
Yes.
It's just like if God is the only power, there's no place for another power.
Yeah.
So when we're looking through this lens of what God truly is, then we're seeing a true picture.
Yeah.
Of who we are and what we are learning in, you know, in the Bible, Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, where it talks about man being made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
Then that's the reflection of God, and the reflection has to be similar to the original.
Right.
So that's the lens, you know, the it's like the mirror.
Uh-huh.
I often think when you go to like a fun fair, I don't know what that's called.
No, it is fun fair.
It's
well,
a fun
at
fair.
Least in Britain it
in
is.
Britain, I don't know what it's called here, but
yeah.
When you and you have these warped mirrors and you can see yourself, you know, reflected in weird shapes.
Yeah.
And if the mirror is correct, then you see the true reflection.
Right. Yes.
And to me, that's what Christian Science does.
It makes the crazy mirrors.
Yeah, no, you're looking through the right mirror.
You're looking through the right mirror.
You're
like
looking
that.
Through the right mirror so you can see a clear picture of yourself.
Yeah. As the reflection
true reflection.
Of God.
Yes.
Okay.
You're seeing the true reflection of God versus, you know, otherwise then you're seeing a warped mirror and a warped image.
Yes. Yeah. And you said earlier that God is spirit. And I think it might be helpful briefly just to, what does it mean that we as God's reflection are spiritual? How would you describe that? What have you learned about that side of the equation, that we are spiritual?
Well, to me, being spiritual or God is spirit is there's no limit, no restrictions, not made of matter, not made of material substance. And when I think about being the image and reflection of God, of spirit, God is not a person. God is not a like a superman or woman, you know, in a certain shape or form. So it's not in the body that we are the image and likeness of God.
Right.
It is in the qualities of God. So we reflect those qualities of God. And Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health talks about the different synonyms for God. Life, truth, love, principle, soul, spirit, mind. And those are really names that are helping us to think more about the qualities of God.
Right, yeah.
So for instance, when you're thinking about God as mind, to me, it refers to intelligence, wisdom, creativity, strength, power. So as the reflection of mind, then I express those qualities.
Right. Yeah.
That's one thing that Christian Science has done for me. Instead of thinking about God as this vague kind of, you know, entity, pretty much like when you pass light through a prism and it breaks out into all these wonderful colors.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what Christian Science has done for me. It's kind of made, you know, broken it up into qualities that I can actually understand.
Yeah, and identify with.
Yes.
Because that,
yes.
That's,
yes.
Yeah, so that's the way you're describing it. It's lovely that to understand Christian Science is to begin to identify our substance and nature in terms of those qualities.
Yes. So yeah. Then I, as a spiritual reflection, I'm made up of these qualities of God.
Right.
And if you think about, to me, God is spirit, then means infinite, without restriction, infinite ability, grace, and power.
Yeah, sure.
So it just kind of frees you from a limited sense of your identity.
Is that something else you can illustrate with a healing, somehow that these qualities are part of us?
Years ago, my parents were building a house. And they, you know, had an architect working with them and everything. And I don't quite remember how, but I got involved in that.
Uh-huh.
And I was helping with buying things and the decorations and everything. And in the middle of that, I thought, I really have no background for all
right.
of this.
Uh-huh.
You know, how did I get into this? But that's where I realized that as the image and likeness of God, you're not depending on an educational qualification. You are not depending on maybe work experience. These qualities of God are inherent in your nature.
Right.
And when you are just letting God be expressed through you, and when I say that, I mean when you're recognizing that you are not the creator of all of this.
Not the source.
Source is the right word. But instead, you're just being a transparency, you know, just like looking through the right mirror.
Yeah.
It's like when you look through, the window pane, the nature is to be transparent.
Right? Yeah.
And so the window just naturally lets in the light because it's the nature of the glass. So the same way, it's the nature of our spiritual identity to let that
light
of God, the qualities of God shine.
Yeah.
So as I started listening more and more for that guidance, for those ideas, and recognizing that God was the source of ideas, I was actually able to do all of this without any kind of stress or strain.
Right.
And that has happened in so many ways in my life,
yes.
So many projects.
So in a way, you're saying two things that I think everyone would love to be able to do, which is one is to do things that you're not necessarily trained to do, but you find you have to do, which comes to all of us. But then on top of that, to do it without stress and strain.
Yes.
Which is in this world at the moment, I think people would love to know that there is a way to accomplish good without stress and strain.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's, for me, the beauty of studying this science. That you stop feeling that you are responsible.
Right.
It's going back to what Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing.
Right.
Somebody had long ago told me that your only responsibility is to respond to God's ability.
Yeah, I like that.
And I've just found that so helpful to keep reminding myself about that, that you are not doing it. You are reflecting it.
Yes, Yeah.
And that takes away the burden.
Yes.
The stress.
And that's, I think, what prayer in Christian Science helps us do, isn't it? To live the reflection. Mm. We are the reflection, but to live it in our
I
actual
think to
life,
recognize.
Recognize it,
yeah. When you recognize that you are the reflection, then it just...
It's inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you live.
Then you see the result of that,
right.
Actually. The harmony that comes from that recognition.
Yes.
You know, nowadays there's so much strain and stress, but order.
Right.
To have order in your life. And that doesn't mean getting things put in their place or doing things, you know, having this to-do list and you're just going down the list. I used to be that way.
Right, okay.
Okay, I've got to do this uh-huh. today, and, you know, how will I ever get it done? But now I'm learning more and more that if I'm recognizing that God's law is operating, uh-huh. and one of the synonyms for God in Christian Science is principle.
Right, uh-huh.
Principle means law, rules, right? So when I am recognizing that this law of God is operating, and because it is operating, there's perfect order and harmony.
Right.
Right? Then everything in my life has to go according to God's order. And it can be a very simple thing, like sometimes I'm expecting a call from somebody, and I need to do a couple of other things. And somebody said that they will call at this time, but I've got this other thing to do. And should I start doing this? Because I'll be interrupted with the call. And now I've learned that, no, I know that God is in control. So that person's need and my need are going to be perfectly coordinated.
Right.
And when I stop and I think that way, sometimes I start on it and I find that I'm able to finish that before the person calls.
Right, uh-huh.
There's an adjustment.
Yeah.
An adjustment takes place because it's not just God making my life ordered. It's the other person's life too.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there's that kind of sense of order in the whole universe, and I can expect that.
Yes.
The thing about Christian Science that I love so much is that it is applicable, this understanding of God is applicable even in the minutest details of our lives.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and what I love in even that modest example is there can be a sense that someone has such a, like you said, a preconceived sense of what order should look like in their day, that by pursuing that relentlessly, you can trample on other people's sense of order, and it can be a conflict. But if you're looking to principle to govern everybody,
yes,
then I love that. That's
then you're seeing that this, you know, order is across the board.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that just because I know Christian Science and I'm thinking about principles, so I will have it, but
right.
that person won't have it.
Uh-huh.
If it's true for me, and we are talking about God being all, it has to be true for every single person.
Yes.
It can't be just true for yourself, because then it's no longer law.
Yes. Well, also, if it's true that God is all and it's not true for someone else, then they're great gaping holes in that allness.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's a mind-stretching thing, because going back to what you said at the beginning, you quite rightly said lots of theological practices talk about God being omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, which is what we mean. God is all presence, all power, all knowing. And that's the beauty, I think, in Christian Science, that you're not only knowing it as a fact, but you're actually yielding to it as a truth. That to me is such a wonderful part of prayer, that you're knowing that's true, but you're really trying to get your thoughts wrapped around it.
Yes. And I think sometimes there's the thought that, okay, yeah, I'll take this understanding of God and then, you know, I'll make my life a little bit better.
Right.
You can only go so far with that, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is about discovering God. I think that's what Christian Science is to me. It's about discovering God.
Right.
And because God is infinite, there's an infinite amount that we need to,
yes,
to kind of think about. So it's not about, okay, if I study Christian Science, then I will have better health, I will have better finances or relationships, right, or whatever. It's really focusing on God, yeah, and letting that allness and that the majesty of what God is, letting that fill your thought, your consciousness. Right. Then whatever is unlike that will just leave.
Yes.
You don't have to get rid of it.
Yes, yeah. And then the right relationship might be totally different to your preconception.
Yes,
you know, the
yes,
right home might be totally different to your preconception, but you'll have the right expression of those things as you understand.
Yes.
Like I said, it's not personal, it's principle.
Yes.
Could you just go back to that idea of discovery? So we've talked about Mary Baker Eddy. So she discovered Christian Science.
Yes.
But you're really talking about daily discoveries in your own study and practice.
Yes. Yeah? She discovered it.
Yeah.
And she's put it down, you know,
in science and health. Jesus scriptures.
And what we're doing is we're taking science and health and the Bible, and now we have to make it our own.
Right.
We have to make our own discoveries.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just say, okay, you know, she discovered it. Yes, she did. But, you know, Jesus healed. But then he told his disciples, you have to go back, go out and heal.
Go and do likewise.
Heal the sick and cleanse the lepers.
Yeah.
So they had to do that. It's a learning process. Yes, certainly. Jesus' disciples had to learn it.
And disciples mean students, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And to me, it's like an internship.
Oh, nice.
You're doing that internship, but the goal is to be able to do it on your own.
Yes,
not just right, think, okay, I've done this internship and so I have all the theory,
right,
and I've seen somebody do it. That's not enough. You have to do it yourself.
Right, yeah.
And that's this discovery that we each have to make on our own.
Yeah, day to day. Yeah.
And as we... You know, you learn more and you're seeing the effect of that, and then you get stronger with that, and then you get a bigger idea of God.
Yeah. And it's always beyond ourselves, isn't it? We start with ourselves and learn how to be healed in a way, but it always expands beyond that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's why wherever we go, whatever we are doing, that thought of God, if we keep holding on to that, then it kind of heals everything around us. I think that's what Jesus was doing. You know,
right,
people, yes, one woman touched the hem of his garment. There were, you know, multitudes who were healed. I don't know if it would have been possible for him to have, you know, each one come up to him and, you know, have like a personal kind of conversation and then be healed. I think it was his thought was so pure and so aligned with this allness of God. He knew that so much, so clearly that it touched everybody around.
You were talking earlier about being a transparency. And he was like this huge window in which the light would pour through. And
touch everybody.
Touch everybody,
around.
Yes. Because we know some very specific healings in the Bible, which are wonderful. But there are places where the Bible just kind of says in a sentence, he just healed, like you said, multitudes. And I'm sure you're right. He wasn't taking everyone probably aside and having a conversation.
It was going through. Yeah. And I think even with Mary Baker Eddy, there are so many examples of like she was just going on a carriage ride and people whom she saw were healed.
Yes.
I think that's what I want to be able to do.
Yes. It's got a good aspiration for each and every one of us.
Yes.
But thank you for sharing what you've already experienced. That's wonderful. And I know our listeners will be able to take that away and experience their own aspirations being realized of more healing. But it is lovely to have Christian Science, isn't
it? Yes,
absolutely.
It's absolutely a joy. So
a joy. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful to be here.
Thank you, Anu. It's been wonderful to have you. I've been speaking to Anu Mattai, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Bangalore in India. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Tony Lobel. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleider, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Lisa Rennie-Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.